and welcome. I'm Richard from A Veg Grower Podcast, and today is the 24th of September 2018. This is episode 187, titled How I Overwinter Onions. Now, I don't know how it has been where you are, but certainly here on the Sussex coast, it's starting to feel very autumnal. This morning when I got up, there was a very definite chill in the air. I've also noticed that many of the leaves on trees are starting to change colour. In fact, my peach tree has now dropped all its leaves as it prepares itself for the winter. It's certainly starting to feel like change is in the air. But I'm getting a bit carried away with my little musings here at the beginning. But what have we got coming up today? Well, we have the diary, where I'll be discussing what I've been doing over the last week on the plot, including what I've been harvesting. Then we have what the Garden Days calendar suggests to do for this next week. And then I'm going to discuss about how I overwinter onions. And it's getting to nearly that time where we start planting these out. So, yeah, it's time to talk about it. But with that in mind, let's get on with a diary. Tuesday, I popped to the allotment to water in the seedlings that I planted out last weekend. And I was very glad to get down there because they certainly looked like they needed a bit of a drink. But while I was down there, I thought I'd do a bit of weeding as well. And there was one particular area which I had grown some beans in. But this area became overrun with nasturtiums. Now, nasturtiums are actually a great plant. They're an edible flower. The leaves are edible. But I never planted any nasturtiums. They just seem to have appeared on my plot, which, as weeds go, isn't a bad thing because they are edible. Now, I believe they got here because my previous tenant there had planted some, and the seeds have just spread out throughout the ground. Now, as I say, I can't get annoyed with him. They are edible, and weeds that are edible is a winner in my book. But the seeds, when they have dried out, they can actually be used as poor man's capers. So, for an edible crop, they're not a bad idea. Now, I was still on the allotment and I noticed that my pumpkin plant that was planted in the compost heap and was growing a rather large pumpkin. This pumpkin actually kind of hung over the compost heap wall. Well, the stem on this had snapped around just before where the pumpkin was. This had dropped the pumpkin to the ground, but thankfully it didn't do any damage. It just literally, apart from the plant snapping, it just fell onto the ground. Well, of course, the pumpkin is now not going to grow anymore. So, it's kind of the end of that. But I just left it for the time being. It was still a little unripe, so I've left the pumpkin for the time being. After that, I headed home and I put all my quail into the same cage for a few hours just to acclimatise to each other. At first they seemed okay, but then they did begin a bit of a fight. So overnight the two young'uns got moved back into their cage inside the potting shed. Now that evening I also discovered three young hedgehogs in my rhubarb patch, and it was such a pleasure to see these creatures. I personally believe they are really a gardener's friend. They eat slugs and snails. Now, I knew we've had a couple of hedgehogs in the garden since we moved into this house. And it's great to see they have produced offspring. And that means they will be munching on even more slugs and snails. I actually took a few photos of these and shot some video of this. The footage will actually be on tomorrow's video, which goes onto YouTube and Facebook. Wednesday in the morning, I put all the quail back together in a cage so they could spend all day together. And I'm kind of doing this to try and... I want the male to mate with all the hens and produce, obviously, more birds. So I really need them all in one cage. Also, there's a space saving, and they're social animals, so I think they'll do better in a larger group. Now, in the evening, I came home from work. I decided to clear away some more of my tomato plants. Harvested all the tomatoes that I could, including some green ones, which are ripening on the worktop. Now, while I'm doing this, and whenever I'm at home in the evenings, I tend to let my chickens out on their run, so they can explore the vegetable patch. And this also, they kind of help with the weeding and the bug control. Now, the problem with my newer chickens particularly is they have a tendency to jump on top of either the quail cage or on top of the chicken coop. Now, on top of both of these, I have several plants growing, seedlings and things. On top of a chicken coop, I have kale, and they tend to climb up there and try and eat the kale. So I have to take them off from time to time. Now, actually, the kale actually have, I've noticed some caterpillars on them. Obviously, cabbage white or something. So I've been picking those off and throwing those for the chickens to eat anyway. And this might be what's attracting them. I'm not sure. Either way, they're eating my kale and I want to plant these out. But so are the caterpillars. So I've got to keep removing the caterpillars anyway. However, there was a bit of a problem when one of them jumped on top of the quail cage, because it knocked off a pot of basil I had growing on there. Now, the basil isn't a problem because that was salvageable. The problem was, as the basil fell and hit the ground, it scared one of my female quails. And she died. She obviously had a heart attack or something. So I have lost one of my female quails. Bit disappointed, but this bird hasn't actually laid an egg for a few weeks. I've incubated more eggs anyway on the hope that I might get some more quails, but I've also had a few people who are interested in having their own quails, so I've been incubating more for them as well. But yeah, that was a bit of a disappointment. In fact, it was Joan who died, so certainly one of the older ones. Now, Saturday morning, it was away Thursday and Friday, missed all the storm, but thankfully no damage to report there. But Saturday morning, I went down to the allotment to do a bit of work, and I knew it was going to be a bad, wet weekend, so Saturday morning looked like the best chance to get down there. Now, I started out with strimming the grass areas, and then I followed that with more weeding. Now, after that, a few weeks ago, you may remember I started an experiment of sowing a few carrot seeds in my Hacknix root trainers. And I wanted to see if this would be easier to plant. Well, I had left them for quite a while because I thought there may be more germinating. But the germination was poor. I think out of at least 25 seeds, I've probably got 6 plants. So pretty poor in that regard. But these 6 have now been planted down the allotment. And I planted these simply by just digging a hole and then dropping a plant with all the soil from the root trainer into it. Now, in theory, the root trainer should be like a solid plug. In practice, because I use John Innes number 2, which is a very crumbly soil, the soil from around the plant fell apart. Now, this experiment is not over yet, as I want to see if the carrots transplanted and survive the transplantation, and to see if we will actually get some carrots out of them. Now, carrots generally do not like being transplanted, which is why I always direct sow them. But I would really like this root trainer idea to work. And it's also been recommended to me to use pelleted carrot seeds, because they're a bit bigger to handle and may mean that sowing them will be easier. But I'll be testing that out in 2019. Now, after that, I harvested the pumpkin, which I spoke about earlier, as well as a few other crops. But at this point, the weather was getting pretty bad and I had an event to go to. So I packed up and went to the event. And I was actually meeting one of my listeners at the event. Well, several of my listeners, actually. But particularly group in a Facebook group, there's a member called Ian. Now, a big thank you to you. It was lovely to meet you, Ian. Thank you so much for the gifts as well. He gave me some salt and pepper pots, which will be making appearances in my videos in the future. And he also made me a pen and coaster with the Veg Grower podcast logo on them. So a really big thank you for that, Ian. I really, really appreciate it. And again, it was so nice to meet you. Now, Sunday, I was meant to be attending a flower farm open day, but because the rain was so heavy, I did not feel I could really chance it. It was quite a drive from where I live, so I decided to stay indoors and catch up on lots of admin work. In the afternoon, the weather had improved rather dramatically, but by this point, the day had gone. The good thing out of this rainy day came, however, was that I could get a fire going in our front room. We are very lucky in our house to have four fireplaces. And we've also got a huge pile of wood from our old fence, and this all needs burning down. So I really managed to make a really big dent in that wood pile. But what does this have to do with veg growing? Well, the ash from a wood fire is actually an excellent source of potash, which is really good in the garden for plants such as gooseberries or tomatoes. Now, I tend to sprinkle the ash all over the garden as it becomes available. But some gardeners actually say they store the ash somewhere dry and apply it to their plants next year as required. Now, I've also heard that adding ash to the compost helps sweeten the compost. I've added it to the compost heap and I'm no scientist, so I can't really say anything there, but it's been fine for me. Now, in the afternoon, I also managed to weigh my pumpkin, and this brings me on nicely to the weekly harvest report, which was out last night. I think I'll discuss that now. It's what I've harvested over this last week. Now, the large pumpkin weighed in at 13.1 kilos, which I'm really pleased about. I thought last year was bigger, but when writing up this podcast, I checked through my notes from last year, and it's the same size, so 13.1 kilos. I'm really happy with that. I also had a much smaller pumpkin, which only weighed in at 1 kilo, but it was the Rug d'Entempfers variety. I cannot pronounce that correct, I know. But this is a more of an edible variety. So, yeah, that's gone well. Now, we have potatoes, salad leaves, herbs, spinach, courgettes, tomatoes, cooking, eating, and cider apples, as well as the last of the pears. Now, the value this week came to £41.40, but I think most of that was from the large pumpkin, but I feel that is actually overvalued. The reason I say that is whenever I price these up, I look online for the current prices in supermarkets. Generally, I go for Tesco's because that's kind of a mid-range one, but Waitrose is the only place I can find a price for pumpkins at the moment, and they're selling them for £2 per kilo, so that's where I come up with that price. Personally, I think it's a bit overpriced. Now, I've also had quail's eggs this week, of course, but the production has dropped quite dramatically. Now, this is due to all the birds going into the same cage as they are now adjusting to their environment. Now, I forgot to mention, actually, with the quails, now they are all living together now. They've spent a few days together. I've left them in overnight and they're doing fine. They're still a little bit fighty, but they will get used to each other eventually. Now, this didn't go on the weekly harvest report because it happened tonight, but I had my first chicken egg for my new chickens, which is great because it means they are now starting to lay eggs. Being that this is their first year, they will lay profusely over the winter. I will have so many eggs, it will be ridiculous. I don't mind though. I like eggs. Now that brings everything up to date, which has gone on for quite a while, looking at the time. Let's take a look anyway at what the calendar suggests to do for this next week. And it reads, remove summer bedding plants from the borders and replace them with spring flowering plants such as forget-me-nots and wallflowers. The soil is still warm and when planted this month, they will have ample time to make good root growth before severe weather sets in. Now, I like what the calendar suggests and says with regards to the soil still being warm enough to plant. I've said many, many times that my autumn planted plants tend to establish much better than any of the spring ones. Now, this could be fruit trees or bushes, asparagus or onions, as I'm going to be talking about now. Now, overwintered onions are so incredibly easy. And I tend to get really good results from them. Now, I actually find I get better results from autumn planted sets over any planted in the spring by far. But I always begin by preparing the soil. And all I do to prepare the soil is, of course, just add a layer of manure on top of a bed and tamp it down. Now, this, of course, goes with my no-dig approach that I tend to take. And on my allotment, the beds that are used for onions, it tend to be what was previously used for shallots, which, to be honest, is not the best approach to do due to the possible build-up of diseases. But for me, it's not really been a problem. It is possible to sow seeds in August, but I find... Well, the onion sets are much more reliable, give better results and easier to plant. So I find that sowing seeds to be a bit too fiddly and takes a lot of time. I tend to use Japanese onion sets, a variety called Senshi, or Electric and Troy, and these have all proven successful for me. Now, the Japanese onion sets, Senshi and Troy, are all white onions, whereas the Electric are red. And I'm planting these out this year, although I've still got to find some of the Troys. But I'm also planting out a variety called Radar and Wilco's red onion sets, which I have done in the past. But the Radar is completely new this year. Now, in each bag... there's about 50 sets, so potentially there's 50 onions in there. The bags themselves only cost a couple of quid, so they're really not that expensive to get hold of. Usually I plant these out early October, and I'm actually planning to plant these out this weekend. Now, firstly, I'll just rake over the soil, or the manure on the top, just to make sure it's all level, as it's bound to have settled since I last tamped it down. I then dip a hole big enough to drop an onion set in, with just the top poking out. And roughly I do onion sets 6 inches apart, but that all depends on the variety. Now, as always, it's always best to read the packaging and see what they have advised for each variety. Some may need more space, some may need less. Now, when I spoke about the top of the onion set as living above the, or sticking above the ground, how do I know what end is the top? Well, it's actually really easy. Just looking at an onion set, it's basically a small onion. On the bottom, it'll be very flat. I even see what looks like tiny little roots. Whereas the top is more pointy and will probably have a bit of a stringy end. Well, that is obviously the top. Really, if you just think of an onion, you can generally tell what is the top and bottom anyway. Now, I'll just drop these into the hole, as I said, the dipped hole. and then once planted, give them a good watering in and a good handful of chicken manure. Now these are now planted and left to do their own thing. I keep them watered and keep a close eye on them, generally watering only if the soil is dry. At this point, birds can be a problem. What they tend to do is they see the onion maybe starting to grow and just poking about the ground, and it may be they think it's a worm or something for them to eat. So the bird will come down and pull the onion set out the ground. But generally, the bird then realises it's not really anything for them to eat, so they tend to leave it back on the surface of the soil. And these just need popping back into the soil when you find them. It's really, really easy. Now, over the winter, the onions will grow slowly and generally trouble-free. I try and keep them weed-free, and that is about all I need to do. Obviously, watering if needed. I've never suffered from it getting too cold from them, but it would be handy to keep some fleece handy just to throw over them in case the temperature does get incredibly cold. Now come spring, it's time to give them a good feed, and I tend to use either chicken manure or grow more depending on what I have to hand. And it's also, again, keep monitoring to see that, make sure that the soil is wet, or damp I should say. If soil becomes too dry, the onion will of course suffer. Now at best the onion may not swell as big as it can do, but what can also happen is the plant becomes stressed and that causes the onion to bolt and it will pot up a flower spike. Now a flower spike can simply be snapped off as soon as it's seen. They can actually be eaten, the flower spikes, but I just compost them. But at this point, if it's pot up a flower spike, it's not, the onion itself is not going to grow any bigger. It's done it. It's had its chance. I would suggest that the onions that have pot up a flower spike or bolted as well, they're used first because they may not store all that well. Now at this point it's probably right to mention a few other problems I have suffered with. The main one is leek or onion rust, and that tends to cause rust-like blemishes on the foliage. If left, it may worsen and that will cause the plant to die back and therefore no more growth on the onion. And all you can really do with this is pick off the infected areas of foliage, if possible. But apart from that, there's very little that can be done with rust. Instead, prevention is the best thing to do. Plenty of light and air around the plant will reduce the chance of this fungal disease in the first place. Now, other problems that onions are known for, but I don't actually ever have suffered with, is onion white rot. That's a soil-borne disease where it just rots the onion completely. I haven't suffered from it, but crop rotation is the answer to this. Now the other common problem is onion mildew, which comes from damp conditions. Again, I've not suffered from this, but good ventilation and good sunlight, and it should be okay. Now, overwintered onions can actually be harvested throughout spring and summer as needed. They're still a bit immature at this point, and they've not really reached their full growth. But to be honest, I just leave them until just after the longest day. And at this point, an onion will no longer grow any bigger once it's reached the longest day. It senses the daylight getting shorter. And at this point, foliage will start to turn brown. Now, I just pull these out of the soil really easily because of my no-dig gardening. They just really easily just pull out. Really, don't even need tools. They come out so easily. Then I'll just leave these in the sun or the greenhouse to dry off. And then once they are dry, I cut off the roots and the stalks and then place in trays to store in my cool, dark bakery until I need them. Or I may place them in net bags and hang them up, again, in my cool, dark bakery until I need them. And they actually store for quite a while. Overwintered onions don't store as well as spring-sown ones, but I find them plenty. Now, normally when I talk about growing a particular food crop, I would suggest a few recipes, but onions are used in so many different recipes that the list is endless. I do, however, have a very simple onion soup recipe that is on my website at the Veg Grow Podcast, and I'll add a link to the blog post for this episode to it should you want to see it. But it's pretty simple. Just melt a bit of butter, sweat down some onions, add some stock, blend it, add a few herbs and seasoning. Boom, boom, boom. It's done. Really, soup is so easy to do anyway. Well, that is how I overwinter onions. And I hope some of you have found that of some help to you. This year I actually grew some really good onions. I'm really pleased with them. Next year will hopefully be the same. So I'm going to bring this episode to a close now. I've of course got the Facebook group winner, which is Stephen again. So more steeds are on your way to you again, Stephen. Thanks again for your participation. Actually, Stephen is going to be on the podcast in the future, but we'll be talking about that later on. But with that wraps everything up for this week. So thank you very much for listening, as always. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave me a review on your podcast directory or give me a like on Facebook. Follow on Twitter or Instagram and just search for the Veg Grow Podcast, or join in the Facebook group and share your experiences with other like-minded people. Or check out my website, thevegrowpodcast.co.uk, or drop me an email at richard@thevegrowpodcast.co.uk. But until I speak to you next time, please take care, and I'll see you again then.